Jill.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, and hello out there in podcast world. We have an exciting but let's get real conversation that counts happening tonight. And it's going to begin with, well, let me give you a little background. Jill has a business for 33 years. She's been written up in Forbes magazine, in Harvard Business Review. It's a shoe shine business. And as you can imagine, that's at the airport. And you know what COVID has done to travel in this past year. So her world and the world of the people that work for her has radically changed. I am a healthcare executive, a nurse, and I'm working a lot in end of life care. So you can imagine what healthcare has experienced this last year and what our people on the front line have experienced with COVID. Neither of us, like many of you out there listening, have had a normal year in any way, shape, or form. So tonight, we're going to talk about the nuts and bolts of that, maybe even some of the warts and calluses that we've gotten along the way. But I want to start with courage, because my definition of courage has really changed a lot this past year. And Jill had someone send her this poem yesterday, and I'm going to read it because she won't be able to. She won't be able to get through it. But it's called I Think It's Brave. And I think this speaks to a lot of you listening out there tonight. I think it's brave after a year of COVID. I think it's brave that you get up in the morning, even if your soul is weary and your bones ache for a rest. I think it's brave that you keep on living, even if you don't know how to anymore. I think it's brave that you push away the waves rolling in every day and you decide to fight. I know there are days when you feel like giving up, but I think it's brave that you never do. By Lana Rafarla. And I thought that poem that your buddy sent to you, Jill, was so poignant in what so many of us have experienced this past year. I recently changed my mantra. I had something about helping overwhelmed high achievers accomplish more with less effort. And that's true. I still do that. But based on what I've learned with COVID and what courage really looks like, it's now navigating the journey from people pleasing to courageous living one step at a time. And tell me a little bit about, give me one of the biggest takeaways on what courage means to you and how you see things differently since this time last year.
Well, I think it's courage. It's courageous to face something that you really don't want to face, and that is really unfamiliar territory, with an attitude that we're gonna make it work. And so that's what has happened with my people, and the strength that comes out of a culture that has been created to support each other as a whole, as a family, and where we take turns being the strong one. Because I'll be honest, this has been very devastating for me after 33 years of business, not having any idea. I mean, in my business plan, I did not have world shutdown in my forecast. That was not in my performance statements. And so one of the things that we've learned is the power of our culture and the power of connection and the power of supporting each other, and how, like I said, we take turns being the strong person, because it's together is how we survive. And we really have learned that, and not just learned that in our head, but we've really learned that in our heart this year and become so much more connected and powerful in that really heart-centered connection and relationship in our business. And I think that's kind of what's going on. I've seen that in other companies and the fluffy things that people could hide behind before, aren't working anymore.
You know, it is the year of coming out of, well, it's the year of either coming out of hiding or going into it deeper than ever before. And so I think that for me, we've also learned the power of toilet paper. And having plenty of toilet paper, because you know what hits the fan, right and left. And so, absolutely. I mean, that's figuratively and literally. I've learned the power of toilet paper, people. And I also learned this. Grief and joy are not mutually exclusive for me. They can and do coexist at the same time. I can be very, very sad, and I am, that I'm currently separated from my mother, who's in an assisted living facility, even though we talk several times a day. I can be very, very sad at that, and at the same time be very grateful for the care they're providing her because they're great to her, be very grateful that she's safe. I can be very sad that I don't see some of my friends like I used to, but at the same time, I'm very glad that I have some time to reflect and get some things done. And for me, it's recognizing I'm not hiding anymore. Part of that journey of coming out of people pleasing is to be raw and real more often with my emotions. And I don't always get it right. But I'm learning that, man, Jill, nothing beats real. Nothing beats real. Don't give me your fake Facebook and this and that, and look at my wonderful life 24/7. And aren't you all jealous? And at the same time, don't vomit out every issue you're having on social media. But I'm looking for real people, the kind of people who've been through hell and back and have learned a thing or two.
Absolutely. And those are the people now, I think we're looking at relationships. I watched a talk show a few minutes. I walked through the room and it was on, and they were talking about not just having surface relationships, having a few core power people around you that you know you can depend on, that are going to uplift you when you're down, that are going to help you thrive and really hold you accountable and to be your best self and call bullshit on you. And really, really support you in showing up powerfully. And they were saying that this morning. And I think that was really powerful. And we need to be selective now about who we're having in our companies, who we're connecting with outside of business, because relationships matter. And just like, you know, our logo, Conversations That Count, conversations do count and connections with people do count. And you need to have those power people around you to support you.
Yes, and accountability is great and all that, and I'm all for it. But I also think there's a way in which it can be done that's healthy and a way in which people are doing it that turns me off. If you're going to come at me like a librarian or a school marm with a waving judgmental finger, I'm not going to listen to you probably very well. I'm going to shut you down because that tells me more about how you are than it does me at this point. And I can't hear what you're saying because I'm so busy seeing what you're doing.
Absolutely.
If you're coming at me in love, I mean, what I sent you a message today, didn't I? And it says, spread love as thick as you spread Nutella.
Exactly.
And so I think there's a way to do it. And I think we all fall short once in a while and mess up. And sometimes it's just the art of learning. I've learned to forgive, and I've learned to forgive myself. I am so far from perfect, and I am so free being able to say that. And I realize something, compassion that doesn't include me in it is fake to everybody else.
So true.
And I can be my own worst critic at times. I was talking to somebody today and I was showing them my project list that I finished for the month of January. And she's like, wow, I can't believe you got all that done. And I'm looking at, wow, look how much still needs to get done.
So it's absolutely
to stop and smell the roses. I told you, I've got some weekend time that I block out just for me now. That may mean I'm napping with a blanket, going to get a massage, doing nothing, reading a book, whatever. But I'm not on social media. I'm not available to people. I'm not going to be pulled by their agenda. There's 36 hours now every week. Nobody gets me.
Right. Right. And I think that's essential. And to take that time and to refill your cup, to refuel. And I think when you do that, then you have the resources to be able to go out and do the things that are meaningful in the world with the rest of the week.
So what do you think people have struggled with the most with COVID?
The isolation. And for me, I've seen people, because isolation causes you to ruminate and to just go into your head and start creating stories and creating conversations that aren't real. And when you get to be with people, and you can be with people in a really heart-centered way on Zoom as well. But when you're with people and you really have that authentic connection, then that's when you have a whole separate conversation that's going on, like I say, soul to soul, or that's going on between your heart. And that I think that people are really missing that, and missing that social interaction, being able to see people and to be able to really connect.
When we talk about connection, one of the things that I do in one of my leadership programs is I train people as leaders, how to get buy-in to their ideas and buy-in from the people that they serve quicker. You know what's really interesting? One of the quickest ways they do that is we teach them a special art form to storytelling, because storytelling hits the limbic brain. The limbic brain is where your emotions are. You can give somebody all the intellect in the world. It's not going to get them. But if you get their heart to follow, their head comes right behind, and bam, everything moves along much quicker. So I really have found that those who know how to master storytelling rule the world.
Absolutely. One of the most phenomenal leaders that I ever had a chance to witness is when I worked in Washington. The chief pilot of United Airlines for the base in Washington, for the pilots in Washington, his name was Richard Horton. And he went by the name of Poss Horton, which was short for possum. And he used to tell the most phenomenal stories. And you would go into his office to have your tea leaves read, you know, for your little meeting with your come to Jesus meeting with Poss, and we called it management by anecdote. And he told the most powerful stories. So you could go into his office and sit down and you could get your tea leaves read, and he would never have said a word about your situation specifically. But you got the message loud and clear. And there was no question what the intention was from that conversation. And I agree with you, Jeannie, that that type of training is so powerful, because you can really reach people at a heart level and make a powerful impact and shift things without ever discussing what was the on their agenda.
Okay, you did it. You brought up an airline. Herb Kelleher was a CEO, I believe was Southwest Airlines.
Yes.
And on Boss's Day 1 year, his 15,000 employees took out a $60,000 ad and full page ad in the paper for him. And it said, "Dear Herb," and it was a list of things they were thanking him for. "Thanks for riding in your motorcycle at this headquarters. Thanks for out talking Sam Donaldson in an interview. Thanks for singing at the Christmas party. Thanks for only singing once a year at the Christmas party. Thanks for knowing every single one of our names." But you know, it was a laundry list. You can Google it and see it yourself. It was a laundry list thanking this fine man and from his 16,000 employees, who felt so special because he connected with who they were. He knew them by name and he knew something about them. It wasn't that he had the best business strategy for them. That came as a result of the connection first. He took that airline to remarkable success, all in how he treated people.
Absolutely. And I watched Pos Horton do the same thing. He was so widely respected in United Airlines. It was phenomenal. I went to his retirement party. I flew back from Colorado to Washington, D.C. to go to his retirement party because he changed my life. He showed me in real time what being a leader was. Not about leadership, but about being, embodying that, showing your people, just like Herb, exactly what it takes to make a difference in the lives of people and to be focused on that every day. And that's an important thing that I've taken into when I work with leaders as well, and connecting with them and showing them that those are the things that make the difference. It's the right. Riding your motorcycle and the singing at the Christmas party. In my article that was just came out in Harvard Business Review, they also talked about the head of Balfour and how every year on their birthday, every employee got a birthday card from the CEO. And those are little things. But that makes a huge difference in the life of a person because you show them that all the way from the CEO that you matter. And I think those are the kind of things now after COVID, people are getting really much more grounded and they're saying, I want to matter. I want to work somewhere where I'm recognized for the unique genius that I bring to this organization. And it's fantastic. The more you recognize people, the more they give and the more you build the relationship. So I think, thank you for sharing that information about Herb. I think that's fantastic.
And you know, for people that are listening in, you don't, if you're a CEO, great, but you don't have to be a CEO to make that kind of a difference. My research in corporate America shows me that oftentimes it's not always the CEO that's making the biggest difference. It's the senior leadership or the middle management because you touch the lives of people. You can do simple things like maybe instead of sending out a Christmas card, one year what I did as a middle manager is I sent out a New Year's thank you to the family members of my staff. I said one or two things about that individual that was unique about them and what they brought to the organization, and thanking them as a family for allowing them to be a part of what we do to make a difference in people's lives. It's not fancy, and anybody at any level can do it, and it's not about a position. It's not your position that's going to make the difference with people. It's your disposition.
Absolutely. It's how much you care.
So on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back in 1 minute.
Are you sick and tired of being tired? Are you tired of your clothes not fitting the way you want them to? Are you frustrated when you look at that number on the scale? Seeing the number on the scale can be frustrating. Imagine a whole new generation of products that focus on what really counts, body composition. We have introduced an innovative trio of products that focus on fat loss and body composition, more muscle, less fat. This is the first in the world combination to reduce fat loss. It accelerates fat reduction, reduces fat cell size, reduces fat cell formation, improves muscle tone, boosts metabolism, burns more calories, and promotes lean body composition. This lean body system is the game changer you've been looking for. Go to trimwithus.com for $10 off on your first order today.
All right, we're back. And we're back talking about what courage looks like, what resiliency looks like in spite of what we've been through with COVID. And one of the things I like to say is we remember the big historic landmarks. Who said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Who said that? Kennedy.
Yeah.
Who said, I have a dream in the speech?
Martin Luther King.
Okay. So, and then Winston Churchill is well known for what he did in World War II to rally people as well. And these are big moments in history. These are really big moments in history. But I want you to know something. Sometimes when it comes to courage, the very biggest moment isn't the stuff that the world sees. It's when you hit that snooze button for the third time and one foot gets out of bed and the other one, because of yesterday, you're still reeling in the emotions, goes, I'm not coming. The other foot's not coming. And then you say, oh, yes, you are. But then you have an internal battle. And finally, both feet hit the floor and off you go. That's, to me, what courage looks like in the midst of COVID. When you're not able to see the people you love in the way you want to, so you do something creative. Like, I ended up buying Echo shows for several of my family members, and it's a way of Alexa with video. I will not begin to tell you. Everybody told me, this will be great. It'll be fun, they said. No, people. 2 months of hell and technology issues because I got a bum lemon of an Echo show and we're still resolving it. No. No, no, no. This was not fun. And it was not a good idea. However, we're plowing through in spite of it and we're finding other ways. I said, my mom is on the first floor. She has a window in her room. Why do I have to wait for an Echo show? I can just drive up and just make sure I got the right window so I don't scare any other elderly people and flop a chair down and have a powwow.
Exactly.
But and even if the Echo show doesn't work.
Exactly. But those are the moments that make a difference. You know, you see people posting about those kinds of moments. And that is what is the essence of life. Because what is that? That is connection.
Yeah. And it's connection with my favorite German in the world. I mean, we first came over to this country. She was trying to help us fit into the culture. You know this, Jill. You know this. And she heard about this thing called drive-in movies. So she's like, we're going to connect as a family. We're going to bond. We're going to make family memories. So we're sitting there. I'm like 8 years old and my brothers are both younger. We're with my dad at the dinner table on a Tuesday. And she goes, kids, we're going to the drive-in Friday night. And we're like, really, mommy, what are we going to go see? Just really popular movie. Because she wanted us to connect. What's the name of it? Charles. So I look at my brothers. They look at me. Nobody knows what Charles is. But hey, we're up for some fun. So Friday night, they put us in the station wagon with the fake brown wood. We got our jammies. We got our snacks. We pull into the drive-in. We set the speaker. And there, the title of the movie comes across the stage. Jaws. About a third of the way through, these three elementary children were traumatized for life. We're like, my mom's like, this is no good. Get them out of here, Don. So we head out. We made memories that night. But not the way we wanted. But to this day, it's a family joke, Charles the Killer Shark. And while the rest of you are out on Mother's Day buying these beautiful flowers, oh, mother, you're the best. I love you forever. Not me. I'm getting the guy with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth in the middle of the ocean going, we're going to need a bigger boat. So, you know, I learned a lot about connection. Even when our best intentions go wrong, you still can end up with a really good memory.
Absolutely. And it's those things that are really going to carry you through.
And if we learn to have conversations that count first with ourselves in here, we're going to be able to avoid a lot of Charles the Shark moments.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love your stories, JD.
I get so much mileage off of her, people. I need to have her on as a special guest one day just so y'all can meet her. She's not going to like that. She's going to be angry with me for dragging her on, but it's worthy. I mean, we can have some fun with that.
Oh, those are special moments. I'm glad, you know, I lost my mom last year. So I'm so happy to hear that you can treasure those moments with her, because those things are life-changing.
They really are. And she survived World War II and she survived some very lean times. As many of the people that I know have, although the greatest generation is passing away at an alarming rate now, but she did survive it. And that generation is a generation of incredible resilience.
Absolutely. And they're a generation that believed in the best in people. And I know that's one of the biggest gifts that my mom gave to me. And that I try to pass on in everything that I do, because I think that in addition to it connecting, that powerful belief and recognition and appreciation that you have in people, those are the things that they remember, is that they have to have courage, because you know what? I believe in them. And they're getting out of bed in the morning when they don't feel good because they know that I believe the best in them. And if you can stir that up in someone and build them up in that way, then their relationship with you, those are the lifetime relationships, I think, that you build.
You know, this book right here, it's one of the books I use in some of my trainings. It's called Secret Keys to Your Success. One of the reasons I'm so passionate about having these kinds of conversations with people is because I know that I know that I know that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, when you get in touch with your purpose and passion, and you know the reason, you know, I think somebody quotes Mark Twain and says, there's two important days of your life, the day you're born and the day you discover why. I call out on that. I think there's a third one. The day you may know why, but that doesn't mean crap. You got to choose to put one foot in the front of the other and walk in it. That takes courage, especially when people say to you, I don't like your videos on social media. I don't like the way you do this. This seems disingenuous, blah, blah, blah. You're going to have critics, but you better be so clear on your why, and thank God for your critics, because they're going to give you fuel like you have no idea. Don't be upset with them. Be grateful for them. They will fuel your next level of success. And so for me, with COVID and some of the challenges we've had, what part of my why has been, what I have perceived is to be delayed. But I don't know that it really is delayed. I mean, I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am here to utilize resources and create resources for women who have been trafficked and have been rescued from that, and have been rehabilitated in a holistic manner to help make them six-figure CEOs of their businesses. That vision was mine 13 years ago. I'm doing some things on a small scale now, but I'm not saying to myself, well, this is the best I can do. I want to do more. So it's not I can't, it's how can I? How can I? And sometimes, Jill, in the middle of challenges, we have to be willing to sit with the question until the answer comes. This isn't an instant microwave answer for me. There will be new ways that I get to do this. There will be new ways that I get to help empower them. But I want to help people get their voice who have had it stripped away from them on so many levels and be able to take it to the next level, because they will be the difference makers in the next generation.
Absolutely. And they have a story to tell. And when you listen deeply to those stories, all of that reflects back. There's always something in somebody's story that touches something in you, that awakens something. Maybe it hasn't been stirred up in a while, but that's why the sharing of those stories is so important. And I was on a podcast this week with Cedric Riley, and he was so fabulous. And we talked about our young people and how much genius is just waiting within that group of people to be tapped into and developed, and how we can do that and create space for them to see and to start to have a vision and create a dream, and then pull the resources so that we can bring those things to them. And that's that kind of thing that fires me up, and that gets me out of bed in the morning. Because when I started in business, nobody helped me. You know, I started all by myself. I drove across country in my little Toyota 4Runner with my shoe shine stands all folded down. I built them so that they were on hinges so that I could put them together when I got to Washington, and I could show up with four stands in one car. So nobody helped me. We didn't have GPS then. I drove into downtown Washington, D.C., and I was clearly in the wrong area. And So how those things worked, you know, we had to have the big open maps where you're folding them out in the car and they block your view so you can't see where you're going. But through all of those experiences, that's what built the tenacity. You know, I didn't have any money. I didn't have anybody supporting me. My dad told me he didn't believe in me, you know? So I have a passion for seeing the genius within people and helping them to bring that out, like play their instrument, develop their special gift in the world.
That's what I want to say to the listeners. You guys, honestly, all it takes is one person having one conversation, maybe as simple as 10 minutes long. But when you really genuinely take the time to believe in others and you let them know that, you, my friends, become a turning point in their lives. It's a lay a stake in the ground kind of moment that says, I'll never be the same. I'm going to ride on this person's belief in me. You have the ability to radically, radically change someone's life for the good. Don't underestimate your words and your compassion and what they can do for others. Sometimes people need a little life-giving moment spilled into them, especially with this COVID. And you can be just the person to do exactly that. You don't have to have a fancy degree. You don't have to have a lot of money. The most powerful weapon we have is our tongue and our heart. And what comes out of our mouth is a result of the reflection of what's in our heart. And I think for me, from a resilience standpoint with COVID, I'm going to ask you one or two things before we close out today. But from a resilience standpoint, two things that really have stood out to me this year are, you said something earlier, you get isolated and you start telling yourself stories. And then the story, because it emotionally feels so strong, we falsely assume it's real. And so I guess the first thing I would say to people is, know the power of your I am and make sure you are speaking life out loud to you, even if it's in the mirror or in a journal every single day. Know the power of your I am, because the negative stuff is free and it comes at you from all angles. The good stuff, you got to earn it. You got to work for it like a warrior. And so I would say build that in, because that's what I've had to do. Otherwise, if you don't own your mind, I guarantee you somebody else will. And it's not going to be in your best interest. That's the first thing. And the other thing is too, is in addition to that, make sure that when you're talking to yourself, you're checking the shame barometer. Shame it breeds in isolation. And like a cockroach, it scurries when you turn on the light. Shame dies when stories are told in safe places. And so I would say check your shame barometer and make sure that you're not building yourself into a wall of isolation or imposter syndrome. Because I struggle with XYZ, I can't be any good over here at ABC. Bullshit. Call it out.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And what kind of input would you give to people in the midst of all this craziness this past year when one foot gets out of the bed and the other one says, uh-uh, I'm not coming? How do they show up courageously?
For me, I have to have like a go-to agenda. And I have to have things that I have to purposely put things in my day that are life-giving, and that there's other people depending on me to be able to show up. And so Cedric, you know, this week when we had an awesome time on his podcast, I will have to have him on the show because he was wonderful. And he said to me, what does success look like for you, Jill? And I said, you know, the thing that really makes my heart the happiest is to see people that have previously not recognized their value, to be able to start to see their value and start to own it and to build confidence. And as they do that, then they can also build confidence in those around them, and to see that kind of permeate the culture and build pride in who they are and how they show up. And to see that shift in a person where they can recognize their own value, I don't I don't think there's anything better than that, Jeannie. For me.
There really isn't much better than that. And I'm going to close our show tonight with this quote from Teddy Roosevelt. He did a speech called Citizenship in a Republic. And sometimes it's called The Man in the Arena. And so also, when you're thinking about the conversations you're having with yourself and with other people, take their feedback in light of this. It is not the critic who counts, nor the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, and who spends himself in a worthy cause. Find your worthy cause, listeners. Who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, he fails while daring greatly. It isn't about the success and the victor and the winning and this and that. It's about the journey. It's about getting your sweaty, bloody hands marred in the arena. And it's about having people along there with you doing the thing with you. Those are the people who will matter. They all matter. But the ones who's, you want to listen to the critics who know best what you're going through, because they're the ones that are going to be able to give you the same advice. And they're out there doing the thing. If somebody's going to give me advice on how to live more courageously, they damn well better be living more courageously.
Absolutely.
Because if they're in the hiding zone, it's not that I won't listen to them. It's that their advice is going to go further down on the totem pole.
Yeah, absolutely. If you can just listen to the people who are really out there doing it. And that's the biggest difference.
So that's what I would say. I would say in our journey to keep on, when your get up and go has got up and went, and yet you still get up one more time, that, my friend, is courage to me.
Absolutely. And when you can get up and know that you're going to do something that day that's going to make a difference in the lives of someone else, and that in turn is going to feel like you had a life well lived in that day. So if you can set yourself up to make an impact, connect with people, believe in people, there's people out there that are starving for that. You know, when I first got in business, I thought, oh, what can I do that can make a difference in the lives of these people? And you know what, Jeannie, the biggest difference was just caring.
You know what, Jill, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to throw an appeal out there. If anybody's listening to this and they are really, really saying, man, I like it, but I don't know what you mean. And I'm afraid I don't have that whole connection thing. Some people have it, some people don't. If they really want that and they are sincere about really wanting to be a difference maker, I say we offer a free hour in a connection course that I have, and we walk them through it, and we charge them nothing other than they spend their time, we spend our time. And I promise you, we can walk them away with some resources that can take them to the next level. So if any of you are out there that listening that want that, please reach out to us. We will make it happen for you.
Absolutely. Because we are committed to the success of our listeners and to giving our listeners inspiration and tools to go out and make a difference in the world.
So on that note, I hope that those of you that are listening today find your week filled wherever you go with conversations that count. Thank you for joining us on yet another episode.